been a busy day for all of us, and I'm preaching tonight about making choices. So I've got to choose whether I'm going to preach a long sermon or a short sermon. Now, you do a little bit of praying, and we'll see how it turns out. We're glad you're here, and we hope and pray and trust that what we say tonight will benefit everyone in this building. If there is one thing that we want to make sure everybody understands, and that is, as the Apostle Paul writes, I've determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 2. And for we preach not ourselves. No, preachers don't do that. Not supposed to. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. That's found in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 5. And when Paul was writing to the Galatian brethren, Galatians 6 and verse 14, there we find that he said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. That settles the problem. I want you to choose Jesus Christ. I want you to make a decision in every aspect of your life to choose Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, where we find that our Lord is speaking. And notice that He says in verses 13 and 14, God said to His Son, enter ye at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way, what? That leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Making a choice. Are you going to choose Jesus? If you do, you'll go the narrow way. Making a choice. Listen to what the Lord said in Matthew 7. Jesus said in verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. That's going to root out a lot of people. They may be saying, Lord, Lord, but if they don't do what He tells them to do and made a choice to follow Him in every area of their life, then the Lord's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. We don't want that to happen to anybody. We don't want that to happen to anybody that don't kneel. Our friends, our neighbors. We want people to make a choice, because decisions determine destinies. Where are we going to spend an eternity with God? We need to choose the narrow way then. God says, enter ye. Where? Walk in the narrow way. Follow the way. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, I am the truth. What, Lord? I am the way that you are to follow. Make a choice. The choice is, I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Peter makes it very clear. If we want to go to heaven, if we want to walk on the street that's pure gold, if we want to see the sea that is clear as crystal, can you imagine the place? Just contemplate for a few moments. Being able to go into that place that is described in the Bible as being the best of everything that you can imagine, it'd even be better than that. I know that when we consider what God says about making a choice, our choice surely will be Jesus Christ. We want to do His will. We want to follow His way. We want to speak where He speaks. And we want to be silent where He's silent, because Peter says, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Don't choose Muhammad. Muhammad, the prophet of the Muslims, the Islam religion. To follow Muhammad is like following a broken cistern. Remember in Jeremiah 2? In Jeremiah 2 and verse 13, for my people have committed two evils. Lord, what have they done? They've committed. What have they committed? They've committed two evils. Listen to what God says. He says, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and they've hewn them out cisterns. But those cisterns that they have hewn out are broken. broken cisterns that can hold no water. They've hewn this out for water to be held, but there is no water that can be held therein. Yes, my friends, to follow after Muhammad or any man certainly means that one has made a choice that's not going to accrue to him any benefits whatsoever. Years ago, many in the Arab nations left the fountain of living waters, Jesus Christ. And they chose those broken cisterns, a mere man, a so-called prophet by the name of Muhammad. And when one chooses someone besides Christ, he severs himself from the only means. It's God. Because there's only one way to the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I know the religion of the Islam is false. Why? They're following the wrong man. God wants us to choose the narrow way. And that narrow way is Jesus Christ's way. We need to choose the true wisdom and not worldly wisdom. Number two. In Proverbs 23, verse 23, buy the truth and sell it not. But then he adds to that, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. In Psalms 119 and verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And then in Psalms 19, verses 7 through 11, beautiful. Listen to what God says, the power of His Word. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statute of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And so it talks about, by doing God's will, you accrue to the great reward. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in them and keeping them, there is great reward. To make a choice. Enter ye where? In the straight gate. Go the narrow road. Follow who? Follow Jesus Christ. To seek after worldly wisdom, as to the spiritual wisdom, it's a vain pursuit. In Ecclesiastes 1, 13 through 18, the wise man Solomon tells us about the wisdom of this world, how vain it is. And his conclusion is, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity and a vexation of the spirit. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 15 through 16, again, he reiterates the same thing. We need, number three, to choose the gospel and no man-made gimmicks. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Paul, why are you not ashamed of it? Well, my friend, he said, I'll tell you why. Because the answer is the power of God is found in the gospel. The gospel way is the narrow way, the right way. The gospel is not a power, as though it is one of many. It is the power. The power of God unto salvation. It's God's drawing power to save mankind. It's to be preached to all nations. Yes, I want to suggest to you that the gospel is God's power that we need, and we've got to teach men and women how important that really is. Yesterday at the store, I was with Mark for a little while, and a little while I looked out, and there was a car parked right in the very front. Beautiful car. Absolutely gorgeous. And we were sitting there, and I asked Mark, I said, Mark, what's that car doing sitting out there? And he looked. He said, oh, probably about $70,000 worth. And I said, huh? Something like that. Mercedes-Benz. Georgia, guess what had happened? I walked out and I said, "Sir, got a pretty car there. I'd like to buy two of them." And he laughed like crazy. And the couple, guess what had happened? He was showing that car to a couple to buy the car, and they were out trying it out, and it ran out of gas. Can you believe that? I could not believe that. Jay, you would have had a ball on that one. I mean, ran out completely out of gas. And he said, "I almost made it to the station," which wasn't even a quarter of a mile from where it was. "But I had to get around and look at the sticker price." Boy, we had missed the price tremendously. The sticker on that car, the price was $89,700. I almost fainted, Jerry. I couldn't believe that. And this couple was out trying that car out. What a tremendous car that was. I looked at it and I thought, wow. You could do a whole lot in that car, I guess, as far as driving is concerned, but who would pay that much money for a vehicle? Well, if you had that much money, maybe you would. But anyway, they had to make a choice. And I don't know, after having gone out on a trial run, I don't know whether or not I'd want to make a choice with that guy anyway. But then, lastly, tonight, you got to choose God's family's values and not the ways of modern man. I want to tell you, we need to listen to what God says. What God says promotes marriage and makes good homes. I know. I preach it. I believe it. Why? Because God said it. We've got some great couples in this congregation. People who have been married a few years. People who have been married many years. Here is our guide to doing what God wants us to do. In Proverbs 18, verse 22, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing, and obtain the favor of the Lord." Remember in Hebrews 13, verse 4, "Marriage is honorable in the sight of God, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge." Decisions. Decisions to choose the family values and not the ways of modern man. Why, Paul, when he was writing in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 14, he wrote, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully." Why? Because marriage is honorable. Because God's chosen it. God wants marriage. I read of a couple, one young couple, who were live-ins. And so they said marriage was nothing but a piece of paper. And so they chose not to get married, just live together. How many of you know I'm doing that today? Choosing what? Their wisdom. What they want. And not what God says. As I mentioned in Hebrews 13, verse 4, forgot to make the letters bigger. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed is undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. You can't misunderstand that. God's way is what? One man, one woman, till death do they part. Jesus gave only one exception to that. In Matthew chapter 19, verse 9, Jesus tells us that whosoever shall put away his wife, unless it is for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And he that marrieth her that is put away doth commit adultery. What's going to happen to people that are in adultery, who live in adultery? God says you can't go to heaven. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. People need to listen. Choose what? God's way. His way that will lead us ultimately to heaven above. Yes, Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Enter ye at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat, because strait is the gate. Narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." And I hope and pray that you'll join me in making that choice. That choice that we will follow this book. No matter what in life, what problems we may have, just go back to the book, look at what it says, say I'm going to do it, do it what it says, and seek to follow the way that leads to heaven after a while. Friend, you've got to make a choice. Heaven or hell? God's way, man's way. The narrow way, the broad way. You know how we can get to heaven? To make the choice where Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That's the words of the Lord. I really believe them. If you've never been baptized and you're lost, you're not in Christ's kingdom, why not tonight do something about your soul? Believe in Jesus. Yes, let the blood of Jesus cleanse you as you were washed in the water grave of baptism. These young children in that class inspire me, motivate me. I love to hear Matt. He does such a good job in the class. Love to hear him ask them questions. Questions about the book. And I don't know how many of you have told me, isn't it wonderful that our children know so many scriptures from the book? It is. Let's just keep teaching them that. And let's believe in it. If you're not a Christian tonight, believe in the gospel, obey the gospel, be baptized tonight. If you're a child of God and you have wandered away from the Lord, ask God to forgive you. He's promised that He will. And do His will by repenting of your sins and asking His forgiveness as you make confession of it. Beautiful hymn. It's a hymn of encouragement to you. Hope you'll make the choice. If you're subject anyway, obey the Lord while together we stand and while we sing.